blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. And thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy, turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer. Thy servant bless. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 187.
Let thy salvation
soul restore. Your heart shall live, ye saints that seek the
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 21. John 10, verses 1 through 21. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read in this afternoon a little portion of that holy word that thou hast preserved for us and for our dear children, that word wherein thou didst give instruction unto thy own people, that they were, as thy servant did say, to try the spirits, for not every spirit is of thee. But thou art the great shepherd, and thou dost give thy life for the sheep. But there are also wolves that do come into that sheepfold to seek to destroy thy flock. But it is a fold that thou wilt care for even to the very end of this world. That is a flock that also our forefathers have given us instruction concerning, that we may attempt to consider in this afternoon hour, and that thou dost also gather a church unto thyself, Lord, that we also and our dear children may not remain on the outside of that fold. When thou hast gathered thy church even from the beginning of this world, and it will be even unto the last day, when, as we have also confessed, we believe that thou wilt come and judge the quick and the dead. Lord, oh, that we also may be among that blessed people that may be gathered in by thee. And thou dost say that thou art the door of that sheepfold. And Lord, that door that is set before us Sabbath after Sabbath day. And we have no interest, we have no desire by nature. O much desire for all that is of self and of this world. And we have much desire also, perhaps, for the blessings that thy people may enjoy, the blessings of heaven, and the blessings of an eternal abyss, and the blessing of that eternal happiness and joy. But we have no desire for thee, no desire for God, no desire for our Maker, whom we have left in paradise. And therefore, we have no desire for that door. Oh, that thou may make it different in this day, when it has never become different in our life. Oh, that thou would bind upon our heart our great responsibility, that we are accountable to thee for all that in which we have been created, that thou wilt ask us again for that image in which thou hast created us, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And Lord, we have lost everything. Oh, there is but a glimmer that thou dost still preserve in men, that he may still seek to worship. But we worship, we know not what. Oh, we worship an unknown God. Oh, grant us light in our soul this day. Oh, is it not the purpose, Lord, that thou hast instituted the ministry? Oh, is it not the purpose that thou dost still give unto us thy day and thy word and all that is connected thereto? Oh, separate us then for a little while, and wilt thou give us that life in our souls that we cannot do without, that there may be a true hunger, not after all that is vain, but may it be after that treasure where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Oh, instruct us in the desire and give us to seek after that country and that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Oh, look on us with our dear children. Oh, give them in the days of their youth that new life. And wilt thou keep them from all that is of self and of this time, which is quickly passing away. And then naked came we out of our mother's womb, and naked shall we return. Oh, give us to see we shall leave it all behind, that we may desire a different portion. Lord, look on thy people. Oh, they are those that are chosen by thee from that never begun eternity. But how often must they not question themselves whether it is truly thy own work or whether they have begun from their own side. Lord, thou alone can give an answer to all the riddles and questions which lie within their hearts. Oh, that thou would uncover our hypocrisy, that wherein we do deceive ourselves to eternity, uncover the false foundations before that it is too late. But wilt thou look upon the afflicted and the poor and those that are meek, and may thou give them to eat and to drink, and that they may be satisfied, and that they may receive a little token out of thy hand. Oh, remember us together in all the needs of this life also. Be with all that are in need in a special way for the body. Wilt thou look upon all that are handicapped, all those that are diseased and that receive treatments from doctors that need healing for the body, also the mother in our midst that has broken her leg. Lord, wilt thou give healing to her also? And look upon all those
that have needs in this world known to thee. Look upon our rulers and all that govern us and make decisions on our behalf. Oh, give them the fear of thee. Plant it in their hearts and turn us again, Lord. Oh, deal not with us as we so justly deserve as a nation. Then we will receive no more rain. And then we will receive no more sunshine. Oh, then we would have nothing. And then thou wouldest cut us off. Lord, have mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath. But leave us also not without thy dealings, because we must be brought to a true repentance. Lord, correct us, but in measure, that thou bring us not to nothing. And wilt thou look upon all the judges of our land, give that they may receive an impression of what true justice is. And what thy law is, and do look upon all thy servants. Oh, send more servants into thy vineyard, who may truly be wrought upon by thy Spirit, and thrust forth into that work, that many souls may have to be wrought upon still in the last days in which we are living, and that thy Spirit may gather thy church from the length and the breadth of this world. Be with those on the mission field. Wilt thou strengthen them in all their labors. Give diligence, faithfulness, and a visit from above when they have not the visits of their loved ones. Remember them in their lonely condition as it often is. And give them to be a true support to one another. Bless the labors of their hands. And wilt thou be with thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Remember all that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Strengthen and encourage them. Give them true faith and exercise. And that thou may bless also their labors. Wilt thou go before all that are in the prisons, give a true repentance, and give us also understanding that it is a wonder that we are not in those places where we also deserve to be. And Lord, wilt thou give us to cry out of a deep need? Show us our nakedness. Show us our sin. Show us the darkness, and wilt thou give us to cry out therefrom, that we may receive light, that we may receive clothing, that we may receive life from the dead. Be with us in this afternoon. Lord, help us. Be on our right and on our left hand. Give us simplicity. Give us the ability in our mind to bring it in a clear way. Oh, give us in our heart love for the souls of this people. And may thou thyself come in the midst of us and minister unto us out of thy fullness. Forgive and keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 238, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Zion, founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee, most precious. He delights in thee to dwell, God's own city, God's own city. Who can all thy glory tell? The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 238, all stanzas.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. They whom thou hast given me, thus it is a people that have been given unto the Lord Jesus Christ, by, he says, his own Father, whom thou hast given me, that is his church, that is his own inheritance. They are given unto Christ already before the foundation of the world. They are given unto him in eternity, given unto him already in that council of peace. And they are bought by him, through his active and passive obedience. And thus they become his. Already in eternity, then we read that he is that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Thus, that there was no question whether that the Lord Jesus would merit the salvation of his church, slain already beforehand. But then there must also come a time wherein that church will be gathered in, wherein that church will be received, and we with our children still live in this time. And with the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you from the instruction which we have received by our forefathers. Lord's Day 21, and thereof only question 54. Lord's Day 21, and thereof only question 54. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself, by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. So for our Lord's Day. The Holy Catholic Church of Christ. And there are three thoughts. First, the gathering of this church, that the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life. Second, the unity of this church, agreeing, it says, in true faith. And third, the living membership of this church, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Thus, the Holy Catholic Church of Christ, first, the gathering of this church, second, the unity of this church, and third, the living membership of this church. Thus, first, the gathering of this church. And by whom is that done? That is done by the Holy Spirit. As we have heard also in the last Lord's Day. And whom does he gather? We read here a church chosen to everlasting life. Thus it is spoken about predestination. And what is it upon which this predestination is resting? That is not resting upon the merits of men. That is not resting on the good works of faith. That is not resting on what God has foreseen that his children were going to do, what they were going to believe even before the foundation of the world. This predestination that is not resting on an ongoing predestination and an ongoing choice of God, based upon what he sees that his children do or sees that his children believe, and therefore he is electing some and that he is rejecting others. This predestination does not have as its foundation even the mercy of God, as if that it was not until after man has fallen and that the Lord has predestinated his people, chosen a church to himself out of a fallen race which he did not know would come into existence. But this predestination that has as its foundation the good pleasure of God. Thus, very simply, that the Lord does as it pleases him, and that he acts, that he decides, that he wills simply as God. As he who is sovereign, as he who is the maker and the creator of man and of this whole universe. And when man will question the Lord, and when man will say, then why is it that he yet finds fault? Because who has resisted his will? And then the Lord is giving as an answer, nay. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? What does the Lord say in it? The Lord says, man, and then you must take your rightful place. And your rightful place that is as my creature. And that I am sovereign, and you only have to bow before me. That is, congregation, a great blessing. If we may but bow under the will, under the decree, under every sovereign decision of the Lord, that we may be given that place to say that the Lord, he is God, even when we determine with ourselves that will of God, that it seems to be against us. We read of that Syrophoenician woman. The Lord Jesus said to her, it is not meet, it is not fitting to take the bread of the children and to cast that bread unto the dogs. And what may that woman say? Or she may say, truth, Lord. That was not an acquiescing in a mere doctrine. No, but it was what was living in the heart of that woman. That she herself was given by the Lord to take exactly that place of a dog. and that she was willing, when it was truly the Lord's will, and that she should be treated as such. And yet she could not let the Lord go. And yet there was a cry in her heart that the Lord also would remember her, even as a dog, even as an unworthy one, and as such, then that woman, as she has manifested, she has made it evident in her life, and that she indeed was one of that true church of the Lord. That church of the Lord that is predestinated by Him, but that church also must be gathered in the time. Thus, the elect, they are not born in this world within that covenant of grace. We know of a few exceptions when we read in the Word of God how that Jeremiah, that he hears from the Lord, and that he is known even from the womb. Boys and girls, could that be true of you also? Then it will be evident in our life, the fear of the Lord in our life already when we are so young. We read of John the Baptist that he has already by the Spirit leaped in the womb of his mother. And thus it is possible, but for the most part, that elect church of God is not born in a covenant of grace, but that elect church of God that is born in the covenant of works. And what does that mean? That means when they are born into this world, that they are born dead. Paul says, we also were the children of wrath, even as others. What does that mean? A child of wrath, that means that the anger, that the wrath of God that is lying even on His own elect, those whom He has chosen from eternity. Say, is that a people that are loved by God from eternity? Yes. And He has spoken concerning that people, that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How can that be? And that they are loved by God, and at the same time they are lying under the wrath of God. Boys and girls, I think you can understand that too, because you know very well that you are very much loved by your father and by your mother. And yet, sometimes you know, sometimes you feel that mother, that father is very angry at you. Why? Because you have done wrong. And so it is. So it is also with that elect church. They are truly loved by God. And yet when they are born into this world, then for the most part, it is a people that are born lying under His wrath. But then there comes a different time. There comes a moment, there comes that time that is set in that eternal good pleasure of God. That is a moment when they go from being a child of wrath unto a child of God. That is a moment that is set in that eternal good pleasure, and that they are going from darkness unto light. How does that happen? That happens by the work of the Holy Spirit. Or in that moment, in that very moment, they are incorporated into the Lord Jesus Christ. In that very moment, they are becoming a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. From that moment, then there is no more wrath. And why not, congregation? We heard a little bit in this morning. Or when we are clothed with that robe of righteousness. And it is in that moment of regeneration that from the side of God, that robe is given unto that church. That the Father no longer sees that church for who they are in themselves. But then he is looking upon his own Son, of whom he says that he is well pleased. Does that church then realize this? Or that is something very different? Or do they realize in that moment that that wrath of God has been taken away? Do they realize that they have become engrafted, that they are now a branch of that true and of that living vine? No. Do they realize that there is favor on the side of God? No. It is the opposite. Because it is in that moment when life is planted, and that a man or woman, a boy or girl, comes to understand something of that breach between God and his soul. And still, from the side of God, from that moment, it is well. And that church that is gathered by him, but not only is it gathered by him, but that church is also coming under the loving and under the tender care of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is receiving that church out of the hand of his Father. And then he is also, we read, defending and preserving this church unto himself. Defending and preserving, they are two different things. And why is it that that church of God needs to be defended? That is because they have many enemies. The enemies of Christ, they are also the enemies of that church. And they have a sworn enemy that will be given some permission to bruise the heel of Christ. It is a church that becomes a fighting church. It is a church that becomes a church militant because of sin. Thus, a church that is involved in a warfare. And yet a church that is in themselves so weak and that has no strength to be able to fight. So we read it of Jehoshaphat, and that he says, we have no might against all this great company that cometh against us. Or it is as it was with Gideon. They had but a few hundred men, and they have not a weapon in their hand or from their own side, then there is no hope and there is no expectation. That enemy that is about them, that is so great, that is laying in that valley there as grasshoppers. And yet, what does Christ say of his people, of his church, that he has gathered together? He says that he is going also to defend them. Fear not, little flock.
For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
And then not only a defense, because that there are many enemies, but our fathers, they speak about preservation. Preservation. What is that? Well, boys and girls, maybe you also know what that is. In the summertime, and then your mother, she will sometimes do some preserving. Preserving. And what then will she do? Well, then she will make the food ready. And in some way, she will try to prevent that food is not corrupted from within. Because there is that within that food that can spoil it. And so she attempts to preserve it. Thus Christ, he not only must defend, that is, from all the enemies that are on the outside, and great ones, because that is the devil himself, that they have to fight against principalities and powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, it is not only from all that is without, no, but that preservation. Oh, that is to keep that people from all that is within. What does Peter say? He says, kept by the power of God unto salvation, or left to themselves. Without one enemy on the outside, left to themselves, that people, they will only fall. They will spoil everything. They will sin everything away again. What does Paul say? He says, I have a law. He says, that law that is within my members, not without, no. But when I would do good, then evil that is present with me. Does the Lord keep them from every sin? No. No, sometimes that the Lord is allowing that people to fall into sin. But what is he doing? He is preserving them. And then he is keeping that church from completely falling away. Or is it a wonder that church is so often afraid of themselves? Afraid that they will live out in their life that corruption that they feel and experience is living within their heart? Oh, they fear that they are going to sin in a way that it is not possible that they shall ever be brought back again. But he who has gathered his church, and who will never forsake the work of his own hands, he will also defend that church, and he will preserve that church. And then that church, they are not alone, because they have not only him, but they also have one another. We see that in our second thought. What believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith. There is, congregation, so much disagreement in this world. There are wars. There are fightings. Men are killing one another, and that is going to be even to the end of this world. But we can read that also even within the true church of God. We can read in the Bible about Paul and Barnabas. They had a contention that was so sharp between them. That they had to separate the one from the other. in the time of the Reformation. Then we can read of the differences that there were, for example, concerning the Lord's Supper with Zwingli and Luther and the other reformers. Thus, there were certain disagreements. Do we believe, however, that Luther, although we do not agree with his opinion on the Lord's Supper, do we believe that Luther was not part of that true church? Certainly not. Or we believe that it is also well with that man, and that the root of the matter that certainly lay in him. We must say that we do not agree with Philpot when he would speak about his opinion concerning infant baptism. But congregation, we certainly hope that you read the sermons and the works of Philpot. Or there can be disagreements. And within that church, then they are not always going to see everything in that same way. Each one has also his own leading and his own character. And yet it is one church. And yet that church that is in complete agreement. And in what are they in complete agreement? They are in complete agreement with that which is most essential. What do our instructors say? They say agreeing in true faith. That is now what matters. And that is why we need to be careful about making unnecessary divisions. There are things that need to be looked over within that church of God. On the other hand, however, when we do not agree in that true faith, then it is much different. Then we can agree in many things. Then we can agree in many doctrines. But when that essential truth that there is not agreement in that essential truth, then we are not one. No, then we cannot walk together, because how can two walk together who are not agreed? And that is especially on this matter. Then we don't make a separation. No, then there is a separation. And then we feel that separation. A church chosen to everlasting life, agreeing in true faith. Thus, it is necessary that we know what that faith is. What is that faith? That true church is in agreement over. That is not the faith of the 10 lepers. That is not the faith whereby they have cried out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." No, they all had that faith together. But not all of the true church all even have that faith in miracles. That a miracle will be performed by me or on me. Neither is such a faith necessary for salvation. What is that true faith? That true faith that is not the faith of a King Agrippa, who believed the prophets. There are many who believe as King Agrippa believed, and yet they do not have true faith. Many who believe the truth of the Scriptures, and yet they do not know of that faith that is in the Scriptures. What is that faith? That is not that faith that men are able to take unto themselves. Multitudes, multitudes today, they seem to agree in such a faith. That is, in a faith of their own making, in a faith which they are able to exercise, they say, by a common grace. That is a faith that is always able to rejoice because there is strength in their hands that they may be able to perform it. But it is not the faith that we read of in the Word of God. Only read the Psalms. And then we can see how that true faith, that is a tried faith in the life of that true church. Oh, that true faith, that is not a faith that is based on our emotions, that is based upon our feelings, that is based upon our tears or our joy. Because feelings and frames, they come and they also go. But what is that faith? What is that faith in which that true church is in complete agreement? That is the faith congregation of Hannah. She was mocked. She was mocked by her that may even walk with her. Upon her way, in an outward way in this world, within the walls of the church. That woman with her own burden has a burden increased by the members of that visible church of God. To make that burden heavy. And that she has no place to go because of the unfruitfulness of her life. That is for her a burden. Can her husband help her? He cannot. Although it is laying in the bottom of his heart with all his love to help his wife. But sometimes then that people may find a place where they may go in their secret chamber. Sometimes they may receive a seat in the house of God. And sometimes they may receive the ability by the working of the Holy Spirit to lay all their burden before the face of the Lord. And there are none. There are none that are able to enter between that Hannah and the Lord. And then sometimes, by the true saving faith, then that woman, she may arise. And she may, and her countenance is no more sad than the enemy can mock, but it is no more a burden in the heart of this Hannah. Oh, when the Lord gives his people to believe, then they have to believe it. And there is not the lowest devil in hell that is able to overturn it. Oh, that true saving faith. We see the father of that lunatic. Oh, his son, the burden of his heart, throwing himself in the fire, throwing himself in the water. and none able to help him. Believest thou, that I am able to do this? What would you say? What would be your answer? And he looks upon his son. And from his side, an impossibility. And that man, when he is pressed, by the Lord, believest thou that I am able to do this? Then he cannot deny it. Lord, I believe, but that wretched unbelief, that is a struggle, that is part of the warfare that is lying in the life of that man. Or a people that agree in true faith. We see a Jochebed, and she has a little child. And she hides that child for 3 months. There are people today, young people, there are people, you will hear them, they will say this: you have to give it over. You have to let go. You tell that to Jochebed. Let go of this three-month-old child. Congregation, we do not let go. We will not let go. We cannot let go. The Lord, he will make her to let go. What do we read? We read, when she could no longer hide him. There was no other way. And when she couldn't hold him anymore, then she is placing him in that basket. Then she gives him over to the hands of God. Then that woman, she may receive him back again. That was by the fruit of that faith. Oh, do you see that harlot? Young people, the Lord give you what lay in the heart of that woman. True saving faith. She looks and she hears of the people of Israel and the God of that people. And she looks at herself, and she looks at her own life. And she is so jealous of that people for their God. Your God. Your God. He is the God of heaven. And he is the God of the earth. And that woman, what did she say to those spies? She says, swear unto me. Swear to me. She could not let them go till she had it by an oath. Oh, that was that true saving faith in which that whole church of God agrees. A church chosen to everlasting life. Agreeing in true faith. That is a church, our fathers say, they are gathered out of the whole human race.
They might not have the same customs. They might not have the same background as we do. But they are going to agree in that true saving faith. And do you know where they're going to come from? They're going to come from the east. And they're going to come from the west. And they are going to sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And congregation, are we going to be among them? Do we also know of that true saving faith? Let us sing. Psalter 160, 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160.
Thank you.
Our last thought, the living membership of this church, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Congregation, what a blessed thing to be able to say. And there is a people who may by moments say it by a true faith. May we ever say it too, that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. What does it mean to be a living member of that church? Then it is not speaking about a church membership, not speaking about baptism, not speaking about confession, then we become a member of the visible church. What does that mean? Does that mean that there are two churches? No, there are not two churches. There is but one church. There is a visible church and there is an invisible church, but these two are actually one. There is one God, and God, He has one church. But that invisible church that is included within that visible church, and that visible church that is the institution of God Himself. But it is but the outward manifestation of that true church, which is that invisible church. Thus, that wherein God gives His church to gather, that the Lord may work, that the Lord may gather, defend, and preserve His church. And yet, in that outward visible church, there is always wheat and chaff. There will never be a pure church here in this world. The Lord Jesus spoke about five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. In that net are good fishes, are bad fishes. There is a house on the rock. There is a house on the sand. But our catechism that is speaking about the living members, thus the visible church that has living members. But what does that mean? That it also has dead members. Thus, are we a living member or are we a dead member? But that true church that is consisting of only the living members. And that is what our Lord's Day is actually speaking about when it speaks about Christ gathering His church to Himself. In what way is that true church invisible? Well, in the first place, we do not know exactly who that true church consists of. Thus, it is not visible outwardly to us. But even more, we also cannot see that thing that is marking them as that true church, that characterizes them as that true church. What is that thing? That is faith. That is invisible. That is what is binding that true church together. Sometimes faith is evident, but faith can also be miraculous, temporary. Other times, even true faith can be hidden, and that for such a long time. But congregation, it is the responsibility of every one of us, and not only of us, but every single person in this whole world, the responsibility to join himself
to the visible church of God. That is to find that, to seek out that true church in its outward administration in this world. If you read in our Confession of Faith, Article 28, when you come home, then you can read about the responsibility of man who is God's creature, everyone, to join himself to that true church. The sin of keeping ourselves in a separate state from that church. And it is by the administration of that outward church that the Lord is calling his true church. How by his word, by his spirit, giving his blessing on his own institution. And therefore also a very serious thing when we are under discipline of the church. Because it is not our church, no, it is the church of God. The congregation, it is possible to be a member of that visible church and, as we said, still a dead member. Thus, have we ever been made into a living member as our instructors are speaking about? And how is it possible to know this? Well, a living member that has been made alive. A living member has received a new life. We heard something this morning of that lukewarmness. But when the Lord is quickening, then there is no lukewarmness. No, read it in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Then he was far from lukewarm. No, then he is speaking to all of his own family. And then he cannot do with an outward service, but he needs that true, that inward service, a living member. He is moved in his heart. That is to seek out that true and that living God, his heart that burns within him. Oh, when we are alive, then there is activity. And that activity is not in our body, that activity is in our soul. And the soul is then going out in true longings, hungerings, and thirstings after God. Or are we a living member? A living member longs for communion. Longs for communion not with this world, no. Then it can leave this whole world to go. But oh, to have communion with my Maker. Longs for communion with the true people of the Lord. Don't we read it? We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. All that living member, he is given knowledge. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of self. Is it any wonder then he is despondent? Is it any wonder he goes over this world bowed down? When he sees that great separation between God and his soul that is a living member. A living member, he is watching the activity within his own heart. He knows if it is well or if it is not well within his soul. The same as we all know if it is well or not well in our body. Because we have life in our body. That living member, he is grieving when it is not well. He is grieving over the dead frames of his heart. Oh, that living member, he is not looking only for himself. No, he is looking for the welfare of that whole body. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. Why? Because they keep not thy law.
all that is a concern for that whole church, that living member, in agreement with that true saving faith congregation. Are we a living member or are we a dead member? Maybe you have to say that I am a dead member. Does that grieve you? Is that ever your burden? Or it is still possible? It is still possible that we become from a dead member to a living member. No, that is not possible in your own strength. No, that is not possible with anything that you can perform. No, there is no sacrifice that you can bring. But it is possible. Why is it possible? Because there is one who is able. There is one who has power to make us from a dead into a living member. When the Lord Jesus showed the impossibility from the side of man, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, the disciples said, "Who then can be saved?" What did the Lord Jesus say? With man, impossible, but with God. With God, all things are possible, and therefore, oh, that this may be our only hope and our only expectation for that true conversion. Oh, we can say nothing but cry to Him. Even in an outward way, has the Lord given us hands to fold them, knees to bend them. Oh, stay close to the means, congregation. They are not from us, no, they are from Him. Oh, lay that before Him. Would He not be pleased to bless His own means that He has given within His own church? Separate yourselves from all this world. Oh, come out from among them and be separate. And join yourselves to the people of the Lord, unto His church. Oh, and have no rest. Have no rest until also you. Until we are also able to say, as our fathers, that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, from our side an impossibility, but Lord, Thou who art at the right hand of Thy Father, Thou whose intention it was and is and remains to gather, to defend and preserve Thy church, oh, include us too, Lord. We are wretched and sinful creatures. We cannot promise Thee that we will be any different in the week to come, but that we would live out all the wretchedness that lies in our hearts. Oh, we cannot change that wretched heart that loves the world and all that is wretched and sinful. But Lord, we look up unto Thee. Oh, come Thou from Thy side, and oh, take us for Thine account, and that we also may be part of Thine inheritance, and that we also may be added as one who may glorify Thy name to all eternity, part of that blessed, that true church. Remember us, forgive our many sins also of this day, in speaking and listening. Bring us safely to our homes. Remember all that must lead in services, Thy servants also, and the sister congregations in this evening. Bless Thy word among us as a people, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 228 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our fathers, God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.